Wiggy, for you, from a listener on the Subaru of New England text line, the late Steve McNair. Steve McNair, number three pick in the NFL draft, sat for a year.
He's Steve McNair's. There's one. Okay. So you've been able to find me one, and how long has the NFL been around?
100 years or longer.
So, yeah, Steve McNair, he sat his rookie year, and he sat behind Chris Chandler. Okay. And Chris Chandler was probably, at that point in time in his career, was similar to Jacoby Brissett, where he was kind of like a journeyman backup.
So if Drake May sits for this entire season, it is not at least unprecedented.
Nope.
It'll be number two.
Yeah. Number two.
Tomorrow on the show, Bill O'Brien.
Wait, didn't Chris Chandler start in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, but that was after.
Yeah, I mean, I would also add that Steve McNair came from FBI or 1AA.
Came from Alcorn
State, which is a much different situation than a guy playing in the ACC.
But I got to give the guy credit because he was the number three overall pick, and he did sit.
And he did sit.
Yeah. So
tomorrow, Bill O'Brien on this show, and Friday, it is a Flex Friday roadshow in Newport at the Audrain Automobile Museum. Can't wait to see all of you on Friday morning.
And I can't wait any longer. Are we going to get to the ick? Because I need to know what the ick was that you and Lindsay are dealing with. Trouble in paradise.
I don't know. It's hurtful, so I don't know if we're going to get to the ick or not. We may get to the
I mean, you teased it. The people want to know.
Yeah, I want to know what it is.
You want to know what the ick is?
Yep.
I'm guessing it's like an itching yourself, like, or adjusting. That's an
ick. I'm going to need the help of, apparently, of the increase in ladies who listen to the show when and if we talk about the ick. This is Jimmy from New Hampshire. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'll tell you what concerns me as a longtime Patriots fan is the fact that if we're not going to play Drake May, okay, it's like we're afraid of what might go wrong. Like we have something to lose. You said earlier, I think it was Wiggy, Ninko, turn your radio up. I'd like Gerard Mayo to please turn his radio up if he's listening right now. Yeah. In week two, let's rewind. We 1-0. We go to overtime against Seattle. We are 4th-and-3 from the 43-yard line. He decides to punt. What do you have to lose? We give the ball to Seattle. They come right down the field and score on us. If we make that first down, maybe we go score and beat them. Let's fast forward to this past week. We're in San Francisco. It's the first quarter. We drive all the way down. It's 0-0. We drive down to their 42-yard line. 4th-and-3. He punts again. Dude, you are coaching like you have Belichick in your brain from years ago when you have, like, the best defense of all time, dude. You need to go for it. Ask Dan Campbell what that does for the, like, mood of the locker room.
So you're suggesting that they're essentially acting out of fear of what might happen with Drake May.
What other reason, Greg? Is there any reason to believe he's not better than Jacoby Brissett?
I don't know, because I haven't been there. I mean, I think almost anybody be at this point. Almost anybody.
You or me, I could get out there. Give me a shot, dude. Give me a chance,
Greg. Yeah. Greg, Jacoby Brissett.
Greg,
when you look at his year, worst performer than the Cam Newton year. He's averaging the passing game is averaging 112 yards a game. At least Cam Newton gave you the ability to run the football with his legs.
Where were all these people that were saying we don't want to hurt a rookie quarterback that year when they put Mac in instead of Cam?
Oh, because you know what? You know, because there was nobody, there was no there was no preacher or who's the person, Pied Piper out there saying, oh, don't play him because the old line stinks, so the sheep couldn't follow.
And I would also just say that I agree I would have gone for it on 4th-and-3, but to say that that's somehow a bad move by Mayo that wouldn't have been done by Bill, I have the game log in front of me from the overtime loss to the Packers. The Patriots forced a punt to start overtime. They have the ball on the Packers 45, 4th-and-4. And instead of going for it, they punt the ball to Aaron Rodgers, who 4 plays later wins the game with a field goal.
Do you believe, like, Function Man 15 and Twitch, they're seeing that Drake is not that good and not ready? If he plays, it will be egg on all their faces from the top down.
If that's the case, then why did you take him at 3 overall?
Exactly.
Well, that's what he's saying, basically.
Well, it happened, Chime. I mean, I know it doesn't happen with your mock, but you can select a player who does not end up being what you think they're going to be.
Yeah, Josh Rosen. I get that. But if that's the case, we would have heard that. We wouldn't be hearing people say, oh, he's excellent. Oh, he's progressing at such a rapid rate. No, like with Josh Rosen, you would have heard.
You wouldn't have your defensive coordinator when talking with the media saying that he gets better day by day.
Bingo. Yeah, you'd be hearing all these beat reporters that are constantly with the team would be hearing or seeing, oh, yeah, things are not good with him.
I get it with the players. I get it with the players. You wouldn't be hearing the players saying nice things about him, but the coaching staff, if they want to save face, I mean, that could be a franchise-wide mandate where it's like everybody just say that Drake May looks really good, but we have this plan.
No, that's ridiculous. Say that Drake May looks good, but we're not playing him. Oh, then you.
Well, that's what they're doing.
And then you pivot to the plan.
Yeah.
Take the boomer call.
What?
Take the boomer call.
Where's the boomer call?
At the top of the list, caller number one, because they're both wrong.
All right. This is Lewis from East Providence, Rhode Island. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, you also forgot about Carson Palmer. He sat out his rookie year, too.
Carson Palmer? Boomer brings that up from time to time.
Did not.
Did not.
He started 13 games.
Here is the Cincinnati at New York, week one, September 12, 2004. Carson Palmer's rookie year. You know who started in that game? Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer started in that game and went 18-27, two touchdowns, one interception. Both of them were wrong because Boomer kept bringing that up. And I was like, wait a second. Carson Palmer played as a rookie.
I would also like to.
I thought the same thing, but I'm seeing conflicting reports. I believe Carson Palmer was the first pick of the 2003 draft.
So
not 04.
So was he? It says right here, Carson Palmer, 2000. Let me double check.
Just 2003, sure. Number one to the Bengals. Charles Rogers went two. Andre Johnson went three.
Yeah, everybody's saying in Game Dog in the Twitch chat says that his first
rookie
year was 2003.
Okay, well then I'm wrong about that.
Yeah.
And there you go, Carson Palmer.
So I would like to also just point out all these people that are saying that you're going to ruin a rookie quarterback. I would like them to point out a quarterback that was ruined in their rookie year, because outside of David Carr, who was literally drafted by an expansion football team, I don't think there is one.
Well,
I have been doing research.
You can't say that about Mac Jones. Mac Jones was great his rookie year.
Yeah, and you can't say that about Sam Darnold, because his second year, they actually went 7-6 with Sam Darnold at quarterback. You can't say that about Baker Mayfield, because he was awesome his rookie year. He set the rookie record for touchdown passes.
But did he have fun?
It's like all these guys that are just... Geno Smith, even. He was on an 8-8 football team as a rookie. He was just bad and needed time to develop. Like, that's the issue here, is people point to all these examples of guys having success late in their career, but it's just because they weren't good younger, like, in the younger years of their career.
It's just
not because
weird.
The teams failed them.
It's just, to say it's a plan, to not tell anybody, and I get it, people go, Greg, why do you think that Gerard Mayo needs to tell you or the fans what the plan is?
Well, if your whole thing is the transparency and communicating with the audience and the media differently, then it's kind of dumb to talk about something you never want to detail.
Right. And who cares if you detail what the plan is?
Right. Best players play, or when the team's ready to protect him, he'll be in there.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty simple.
People would be patient with you. Like, at least you'd have a reason. Like, if you came on this show...
Give me one reason to stay here, or I'll turn right back around.
If you said, listen, we decided before the season started that we weren't that confident in the O-line, or we wanted to do things differently, or we saw what happened with player X, and we decided that we were going to wait until the latter half of the season, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people what it is, and then they will be patient and understand it. As opposed to looking at it and going, Jacoby Brissett blows. Why don't you give the kid a chance? Because Jacoby Brissett, God love him, tough guy, gets up every time. He cannot find a wide open receiver. I'm blind. I need glasses. I could see Pop Douglas out there waving his hands, wanting the ball to be thrown to him.
Mm-hmm. It just
like it's a joke.
It just doesn't add up. Okay, so we've been able to find two guys in 50 years or however long we got to go back that were top three draft picks that sat their first year. And when you look at most of the guys, that have played their rookie year, it doesn't mean that they're going to be broken. Like, a lot of guys play their rookie year and are solid their careers, or they have solid careers, or they're decent. Like, this whole thing, like, look what happened to Sam Darnold, or look what happened to Zach Wilson. Like, there's a lot of guys who played as rookies and are doing, like, Matthew Stafford played as a rookie. We would say he's good. I brought up Matty Ice. He played as a rookie. He was a good quarterback. Peyton Manning. Like, there's a number of guys that played as rookies that were good.
This is Jesse from New Bedford. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, guys. I have a couple quick points, and they're very important to what we're talking about. I think Wiggy brought it up the other day, but everybody talks about, you know, oh, you're going to ruin him and all this. What if he does this wrong? But nobody talks about the other thing. What if he goes out there and balls out? You're seeing the same thing about Shroud when he got drafted. Oh, the Texans are not ready yet. But their offense looks pretty good. Why? Because Stroud lifted him up.
Yeah.
The same thing with Jaden Daniels. He's too small. He won't last behind that line. Look what's happening there. And my second point is, you know how Wiggy was saying it doesn't add up? I think I might know what's going on here. I think the reason why they're not starting Drake May, because once they start him, that starts the clock on their coaching careers. And I think they're making a business decision and not starting him because that gives them more time. That gives them another year saying, hey, look, we got next year with Drake May. Let's see what he can do. Because once they start him, the clock starts. All eyes are on the coaches, and I think that's what they're afraid of. And that'll be a travesty if they're making a business decision not starting this kid because they want to save their own butts. It's ridiculous.
Like coaching,
we got to start Drake. We got to start him.
That's coaching or managing, in the case of Elliott Wolf, scared. Like, They're worried about whether they're going to have a job next year or not. Like, what about this season?
But why this whole organization from the top down is so consumed about how people perceive them instead of actually changing the product? Like, who cares what anybody thinks of you? If you're winning, if you're showing that you're moving in a direction, then the fan base will be patient through it.
As I look at this and I start to ponder and reflect, I think this was the worst decision by the Patriots to draft Drake May number 3 overall. And the reason why I say that is because the reason what you just said, I think this is coming from the top down. We lost Brady, and since Brady, every quarterback that we've brought in here, whether he was a first-round pick in Mac Jones
or
Cam Newton, has failed. And we draft a kid, and if we play him and he fails, then we look bad.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So if you would have took Marvin Harrison, at least we know they would have played Marvin Harrison.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, a lot to get to. And Jones and Keith coming up at 10 right now. Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Bruins took down the Flyers in preseason yesterday, 4-1 the final. And speaking of the Bruins, Nesson Bruins host Sofia Yurkstevich took to social media yesterday to announce she would be taking some time away from the team for personal reasons. So we're thinking of Sofia. The Celtics touched down in Abu Dhabi last night to kick off their preseason play against the Nuggets. That'll happen on Friday. And in football, according to Mark Daniels, David Andrews will need surgery for his shoulder, per source. If he has surgery, his season will be over. And at the moment, Andrews is trying to see if he can play through the injury. That decision comes down to if it'll hurt his ability to play next season. And Rashee Rice may be sidelined for the remainder of the year after being carted off the field early in the Chiefs' Sunday matchup with the Chargers. It seems like he suffered a torn ACL. More tests are required to determine the extent of the injury. And Davante Adams may be on the move. The Raiders have informed other NFL teams they would consider trading Adams for a package that would include a second-round draft pick and additional compensation. Adams missed his first game as a member of the Raiders on Sunday with a hamstring injury suffered in practice on Thursday. This comes after Raiders coach Antonio Pierce verified Instagram account liked a post from Sports Illustrated wondering whether Adams had played his final game with Las Vegas. That like has since been removed. And it is time now to put someone in timeout.
You're in timeout. Let's find out who's getting a timeout this week. Brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. Timeoutmarket.com.
I didn't even know we were doing this, but I have one I've been sitting on. Happened over this weekend.
It's probably crushed.
Can I put Kenley Jansen in timeout
for leaving this ball club before the season was over.
Perfect.
And also for Wiggy, no offense, apparently not knowing some of his teammates' names. That was a Bradfoe report that Kenley Jansen, so out of touch when it came to what was going on, didn't he even know some of the guys' names. And to leave your team when you have a weekend left is beyond me. It's ridiculous. And I want him in timeout.
And this timeout always sneaks up on us on these Wednesday shows. I would like to put Bradfoe in timeout. Because Bradfoe again had a report yesterday that the Sam Kennedy FSG is not thinking about the Celtics, buying the Celtics right now. Things could change. His report keeps changing. At first, it was FSG not into it at all. Now he's saying, well, not into it right now. Things could change.
He seems really obsessed with your cocoa bar.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know why.
That is fine. He can be as obsessed as he wants. The annoying thing is, and now I hope that Sam Kennedy buys them because I want to be right, because he's one of three in my report. So, I mean, it's going to be him, Bezos, or Wynn. I'm sticking by that.
Well, I'm going to stick in the baseball world for my lead. I told you I'm putting Major League Baseball in timeout for not putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame
before it was too late.
He unfortunately passed away.
Yeah. I like it. Timeout Market Boston, the best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarketboston.com. And today only in your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. You got to stop in. Today's daily deal is Sushi Madness. Pick up select varieties for $6 each. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 59 degrees, cloudy skies, partly cloudy this afternoon with a high in the mid-60s.
Well, some suggestion by those who might know that Jeremy Swayman has requested a trade from the Boston Bruins, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, as that saga continues.
And I hate to do this because I don't like to get involved in your relationship. You know that. I get in trouble sometimes. But Lindsay has reached out to me, and she is confused why you are talking up this ick so much. She said it's the most normal ick ever. She doesn't know why you're mad.
Well, why would... So the ick... How would somebody not be offended when there is something that I don't even know necessarily until we started to watch this show that there are these icks? Are you watching Nobody Wants This?
No, I'm going to start today.
It's a rom-com thing.
This conversation?
Is that the Adam Brody one?
Yes.
Yes. Nice. And the woman who's in it gets the ick about the guy that she's falling in love with. And the ick is, define it, please, for those of us who are...
The ick is like kind of like a very normal thing that somebody could be doing, or it could be abnormal, but it's just something that really gets to you. Like an ick of mine is if Santo has a toothpick in his mouth. Oh, I'm like, take it out. It's so lame.
All right. So what's the ick then?
This is bothersome to me because people do things in their normal lives. And if it's an ick, you should tell the person, I guess, right away that it's an ick. But also, like, who's not going to be bothered? So we're watching the show, and I flirtingly, Curtis, said, oh, well, you know, glad I don't give you the ick. And she said, well, one thing that you do does give me the ick. Any guesses about what I do that gives the ick?
I think it's going to be like... A lot of girls have the ick of a guy like adjusting himself too much.
Not much to adjust.
Could be what I do based on looking at your hands, bite your fingernails.
It is not biting my
fingernails. I was going to say cutting your fingernails.
Oh, one of my biggest ones, hucking a loogie. Like when you guys do that thing with your throat.
Nope. Yeah.
That's Lauren's big ick.
Yeah.
Oh, you and Curtis do that.
Well, how are we supposed to get
Curtis,
the phlegm up?
How are we supposed to clear our throat?
It's radio.
It literally gives
but
me a
Santo
chill
Santo never
down.
Hawks when he's
no.
out?
No.
All
right.
No.
I'm sure maybe in the shower without me, but...
No, I mean, when you're coughing, you have to get it out.
It's very different.
Are you
going to
die?
That's different than what these two do.
Okay.
It's not that.
The word ick gives me the ick.
It's not chewing tobacco, as somebody is suggesting in the Twitch chat.
Is it the way you put on your flip-flops?
Chime? You're in the neighborhood. You're getting warm, as they would say.
You don't lotion your feet.
Nope.
It is apparently wearing flip-flops.
Oh.
My choice.
Something you do literally like every day.
Wow.
That's a normal one.
It's not a normal one.
Yeah, it is.
Please, ladies.
No.
For women?
Please, Lindsay has the right.
Ladies, please, if you're listening to the show right now, who gives a royal F about what somebody wears on their feet? Like, do I care?
If I have to see your feet, I don't love it.
You actually take pretty good care of your feet.
But again, like, who doesn't wear flip-flops in the summer and into the fall season if you're a guy?
You're a flip-flop guy.
But this is why there's a lot in common between Lindsay and Giselle. Because you were a flip-flop guy far before you met her.
Right.
Yep. This is
and
a part of
you. And I gotta tell you something. I'm a flip-flop guy after.
Okay.
Here they are right there.
Need some new
ones.
You
know what I did? I got up this morning and I said, I'm slamming my flip-flops on because I don't care that they give you the ick.
What is the part? Is it just how they look or is it like the way you walk in them?
Apparently doesn't like guys in flip-flops or guys in men wearing flip-flops is a real issue. Like who honestly gets that deep into something?
I get it.
That it gives you
No, I don't get that because...
I just think the whole discussion, like if you love somebody, they don't give you the ick.
Oh, well, no. Everybody, no. That is
everybody
not true.
Gets the
everybody gets the ick.
What do you mean everybody gets the ick?
If you're human and you deal with other humans and if you live with another human, I'm sure I give Santo a million icks.
Right. But see,
if he told me, I'd be pissed.
Has he ever told you to change any of your behavior?
Yeah.
What?
Like what? My tone.
Yeah,
sometimes
but
I'm a bit
not,
harsh.
What's the ick, though? That's not an ick.
Right.
Well,
like, what does Santo say, like, oh, that gives me the ick?
Like, one of the icks for Santo is I'm always cleaning, but then if I do my laundry and I don't put it away, I, like, lay it out on the bed in the
Courtney,
guest
that's
room.
That's not an
yeah,
ick.
Part of having a
that's
successful...
No, it isn't.
Part of having a successful relationship is ignoring those things.
Yeah, but they still are there.
Like, everybody does something that bothers the other person. You don't bring it up in the middle of watching a romantic television program.
No, it's good to get it out.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I think it is.
For the person who's the ick.
But see, that's...
It's not good for the person who has an ick.
But see, there's a difference. Like, Santo, you don't have a real ick Santo gives you. Her ick is that Greg wears flip-flops. She's like, ugh, that's nasty. That's an ick. Ick basically means nasty.
No, it doesn't. No. Like, it really doesn't because like the toothpick thing for me, that's an ick. And that's not disgusting.
My ick is when you sit at a high bar stool and you have to like shuffle the bar stool close to the table. That infuriates me.
I just wanted you to finish speaking before Wiggy interrupted you. What is it again?
When you sit on a tall bar stool and instead of like pulling it in, you're like shuffling in the bar stool closer to the table. That gives me the ick.
That's a great one, Shia.
Yes.
What do you mean? That's a great
one. 100%.
It's so petty.
Oh yeah, when you're at the barber shop and you get spun around in the little cape like you're like a little child, gives me the ick.
Okay, but how are you getting... Does Lauren go to the barber shop? Like,
no, I'm just saying, like, those things are, like, common icks.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but see, the problem is...
I tell you my ick today? It's when James puts his finger in his poop when I'm cleaning him.
But see, the problem is you and...
Chime
have no idea. Ick is disgusting.
No, that's not what it
says. Wiggy, you don't know what it is,
says
so
right
pay
here,
attention.
Urban Dictionary,
no, it's
used
not
to express something disgusting.
This is something that people... I'm trying to
That's annoying.
This is something that people do. It's a common thing. Yeah. Probably not with your age. These people identify an ick in somebody.
Another one for me, if Santo is cutting like a steak and the sound, if he drags the knife on the plate and it makes a noise, ick. Or somebody eating said steak and then the fork, like the using their teeth to drag it.
Yeah, I just don't think, ick. I think in general, most people... They get annoyed by something, and if they're in a successful relationship, they ignore it.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get
the ick.
I'm not
they
leaving Santo.
Yeah, that's
they ignore the ick.
No, but see, I thought the ick was something disgusting. What you're headed for? Destruction. Because you're a flip flop. Because
I am a flip flop guy.
You're a flip flop. Like to me, if this is the case, then they don't like. She should have known when she met you.
Yeah. I was probably wearing flip-flops when we met.
So you could get by all the other things. Like,
I mean,
you know,
what am I going to do? Throw on like a pair of New Balance sneakers? I mean,
That would be ickier, I would think.
Flip-flop season is almost over, so it's fine. But she still loves you. She just, it's an ick.
The flip-flop is for convenience. Let's be honest.
But
let's clarify. Love means tolerating an ick without changing the person you love.
Yeah,
behavior.
But see, yeah. Curtis, that's something that you can't change.
No, what I'm saying is if Greg likes wearing flip-flops.
Right.
You know, there's things to love about Greg. The things to love about Greg far outweigh the things that bother you.
Right.
So tolerate it. Move on.
But the problem is her ick is something that Greg loves to do.
Yeah. And she's not going to change. But she's not saying you need to stop wearing flip-flops or
yeah,
I'm going to leave
you. Yeah, she's
trying
to make him feel uncomfortable.
No, she's not. She's just saying it gives me the ick.
What did she say? Guys who wear flip-flops are disgusting.
No,
she didn't say that.
What'd she say?
Not what she said.
She said it gives her the ick.
Yeah.
She don't like, you said she don't like guys who wear flip-flops.
It's a thing that bothers her.
Right, and Greg is a flip-flop guy.
I guess maybe I would adjust if it's really that big of an issue. I could wear
sneakers. Sounds like you have to not wear sneakers.
I could wear sneakers all summer.
I don't think she's asking for you to adjust. It's just more of a funny thing
that
you guys.
Would you stop? Courtney, would you stop?
I'm sticking up for my girl.
Yeah, that's all you're doing, but you're not keeping it a buck.
I am
in their relationship. You should be telling your girl, hey, listen, Lindsay, this is what Greg loves to do. Don't let it bother you. When you met him, he wore flip-flops. So you should have known that from day one.
Now, here's a woman who's listening who says, when my husband does yoga in the living room, gives me
100% ick. 100%.
That's a major ick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is he supposed to do yoga?
At a yoga studio.
Out of sight.
And you know that the woman that's texting was on him to do yoga before he started doing yoga. And now the yoga is the ick.
The way in which some men run, so icky.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Greg, I feel bad for you, big dog.
508 text. When my husband is chewing with his mouth open.
Huge ick.
Yep.
Oh, then I guess that's a nick. My wife hates when I do that.
I have a friend who's getting married next summer, and her entire our time in college together, any guy that she dated, she had to see him run before they started dating because she couldn't handle that ick if he ran weird.
Right.
She needs to go into the real world.
What about, here's a 617 text, when my boyfriend wears his hat on backwards, baseball hat backwards.
Ooh, that's hot.
A lot of people, yeah, a lot of women like that.
I like that.
My wife likes
see,
that.
See, so that's why it's not across the board. People have specific icks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Greg, you're screwed. You better start getting
out. No, I mean, she did go on to point out that there was only one ick. And so,
those come out over time, Greg.
Such a good one on Twitch. Some dope from Boston. Men treading water. Ick. So true.
Wait, when are
all right.
So true.
When are men treading water?
Like doggy paddling, Courtney?
Oh, gross.
Would you prefer they drown?
So, Courtney, you know, here it is, fellas. You know what's a major ick for me?
Mm-hmm.
When women wear the Michelle Obama 3-inch heels.
That's a
good ick, Wiggy.
I do not like that. It's not 1950.
I hate when a woman has like the tiny purse that's like right up against their armpit.
Okay.
Big ick for me.
You know what my ick, Greg, is? When women drive. God, are they awful.
See, I thought ick was disgusting.
Like more of a pet peeve.
The driving thing is just mean. But
are wearing, apparently, this woman says that guys in Crocs give her an ick.
Yep, that's a good one.
Major.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Why do you care what a dude is wearing on his feet?
Crocs are dumb.
This is Coco from Brockton. What's up, Coco?
Hey, bud. My ick is when Greg is pretending that he know what the young kids is talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I guess I'm not up to speed on the ick. I didn't know.
You got to get some sneakers. Get your sneaker game right, Playboy.
I see Ninkovich has called the show. Is that about? It's probably about Wiggy.
Yeah, definitely.
You want to get to him before we go?
Yeah, because I'd like give him a reason other than him getting hurt. Give me a reason why he shouldn't play.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to Rob Ninkovich when we come back. One of the spokespeople for Team Brissett has called the program after Wiggy has mentioned him countless times this morning. Rob Ninkovich. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. You know, I love having a nice cup of coffee in the morning and getting text messages. Wiggy's talking about you on the radio. And I just, you know, I want to just throw my 2 cents out there. I want to say what I have to say. I want to ask Wiggy a question.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question, Wiggy.
You got it.
What is secondary to the physical side of football? What is very important? There's physical. What's the next thing?
Mental.
Mental. Right? Mental. Physical, mental. Okay. So, I want to take you through a little bit of statistics here. So you look at quarterback sack percentage, okay? The number one team in the NFL right now is Denver at 2.82% sack rate percentage, okay? They got a rookie quarterback in there, right? Who was struggling. He's struggling, right? Like he's throwing, I should have threw it to the other team. You know, he's struggling. Okay. So now you're talking about Williams in Chicago.
Yep.
28th in the NFL. 10%. He's 10.19%, okay, in the NFL. Now, what do you think his quarterback rating is?
It's probably very low.
72.
They're 72.
Let me ask you, Jacoby's quarterback rating, what is it?
I would probably guess
it's 77. It's 77. It's better than Caleb Williams in Chicago. 77. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, 32 in the NFL at 13.49% is the New England Patriots. Okay? The mental side of going in there when you're a young guy and you're trying to learn an offense and get the timing down and you're running for your life and you don't have a chance to set your feet up and throw a perfect pass, that can mess you up, right, with confidence, with learning, you know, how to play in the NFL. Now, I get it. Throw them out there. Let them play. Okay. But then you're putting at risk a potential Sam Darnold situation with New York, where you got a guy back there that says on live television he's seeing ghosts, right? So you have to protect your investment, not for this year. And I talked about this, patience. Everyone needs to be patient. This isn't a snap your finger and we're back in the playoffs. And I know New England Patriot fans are spoiled. You know, they booed us at halftime when we were winning Super Bowls. I get it, right? You want to win right now. Mm-hmm. But this isn't a car lease where you turn it in and you get a new car, or a cell phone that you turn in every 2 years. It takes a little bit of time. Number one, you got to evaluate where the roster's at. I mean, Mayo, I think he's done a great job as far as coaching. He hasn't done anything where you're like, oh, look at the coaching decisions. No, he's doing his best right now because he's trying to evaluate the roster, make appropriate moves, where what you have on the roster right now. Defensively, I mean, you lose your best inside linebacker. They're dealing with injuries. So, you know, there's no excuses in the NFL, right? I get it. But at the moment right now, you don't have David Andrews, who's helping you make all the checks, right, in the protections and the slides and who to pick up and blitz pickup. That's a big problem, right? So your corners, the edges of the offense, sorry, I don't say corner. I say the corners of the offense. Your tackles, you know, they have some injuries there. You're not able to put a lineup in front of a young quarterback where you could feel confident that he's not going to hit his back foot and get smashed from behind, right? Mm-hmm. From the back blindside hits. So I think at the moment right now, you're still got to make sure that you protect the mental side of a young quarterback, and it's got nothing to do with the physical side.
Can I ask one question? Do you think, you brought up Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, do you think this experience that they're getting, learning and from all these mistakes that they're making this season, is going to help them out next year?
I don't know. I saw Caleb Williams roll his eyes to a quarterback that told him, you got to make sure you don't take so many hits football game.
But I asked you, do you think...
Maybe it doesn't matter. You know, the guy's going to be out there. He's going to have his own opinion of how he plays. If he doesn't take coaching and doesn't learn anything from this year, it doesn't matter.
Right, but that's on the player. But is he in situations that are teachable moments that he is going to be able to learn from and make better next year?
There's always when you're on the field, you're always learning from your play. Yes, okay. I agree with you.
Rob, that
can happen.
Yep.
Rob, would you sit him all season?
Now, I don't think I'd sit him all season, but this is what I would do. I would make sure that if he is going to touch the field, we're not having him in situations where other teams are pinning their ears back. And, you know, when you come into the game at the end of the game and you're getting blown out, the defensive line is just looking for sacks. They're not running. They don't care about the run. They don't care about anything. They just want to get to the quarterback. So if he does enter the game, I would rather see him at the start of the game than coming in at the end, right? Because at the end of the game, when guys are up, when defenses are up and they know that they're going to win the football game, they don't care about the run. They're just trying to get to the quarterback. That's money, right? They're trying to make money.
What do you say to people that say, when you bring up the mental aspect of it, if he can't handle it mentally, then he shouldn't be in the league?
No, that's I've seen plenty of really good football players get down on themselves mentally, and they don't play at the level that they should play. I mean, and it happens, and some guys are out of the league because of it, and other guys get another opportunity, Sam Darnold, and they ball out. It's how in that particular season, how are you utilized? How is your self-confidence and how you're playing? Because, you know, Wiggy knows this. There's times in a football season where you're like, man, can I even do this? You know, and it's a very, very, very tough mental game to try and get yourself to play at a high, high level every single week. And it takes everybody. It's not just yourself. You got to count on the guy next to you. You got to count on the tackle to do his job. You got to count on the center to get the ball to you. So there's so many factors that go into winning football. It's never just one guy. And if everyone mentally is confident, that's why you practice so hard. And you know, go back to when we were winning Super Bowls here, we had a group of guys that mentally were sharp, ready to go, and they were confident, and they knew that the guy next to them was going to do their job. When you don't know how that's going to play out, it affects you.
But Nick, they're never going to get to that point where they believe in all that. This roster is awful. Like, you're trying to create a scenario that is just not going to be possible in the next year.
Well, you're not, like I said before, it's not a snap of your fingers and you're just snapping your fingers and things are going to happen. It takes time. And, you know, the roster where it was at when Mayo took over wasn't great, right? And who was the one that built the roster up, right? So it takes time to draft and to bring in free agents. And you're not just going to spend money to spend money. If you don't feel that the money that is appropriate for somebody is worth it, why would you spend it when you can get, you really have to build through the draft. That's pretty much now modern football, if you draft well and you get key pieces through the draft, it helps you long term.
Because
you control the contract.
What week you starting?
What week? I don't know. Why you put me on the spot right now? Maybe. Well, first of all, they got to figure out who their center is.
Right, but I'm saying, what week would you start him? Because you said you'd play him this year.
I would like to see 6 to 8 weeks of him under center.
Jeez. So you'd start him by like week 12.
No, he said 6 to 8 weeks.
68 games.
Total.
Like under his belt. Total. Yeah.
Oh, total?
Yeah,
okay.
So week 9 or something.
So week 9.
Yeah.
So what's going to be the difference between week 4 and week 9 with the offensive line? It's still going to be the same. So you're making my point, Nico. Put the guy in, let him get experience, and start him early, run the ball, put him on the move. There's so many things you can do.
Well, good thing we're not the head coach.
All right. Robert, thank you for calling. Can't wait to see. Are we going to see you soon? You're going to come Friday, by the way? You love cars.
I got to go to Atlanta Friday. I wish I could be there. I'm leaving at 1.
ATL.
All right. Well, we'll see you soon. We'll do a show soon.
Hey, see you guys. Take care.
A lot of guys on the other side of this.
He said week 8. He said week 8, though.
Week 8, 9, maybe. All right. We got to go. Great show today.
Yeah. Great show.
Great show.
Covered a lot.
Hopefully nothing on the show today gave you the ick.
No.
We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 with Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football. At 6:45, Jones and Keith next. Thank you for your patronage.